Welcome to another delightful story from Arthur F. Kamazi. Lessons from the Monkey King is an adventure through the trials and awareness of taking command of our environment. To bring us on this journey, here's Arthur.
Our ability to be the best that we can be, the best in our business, the best in our work, the best in our personal lives, stems from the way that we act and react to our environment. Each of us have different environments, and each environment gives us a different way to be and to feel. In some places, we literally feel like we are unstoppable and we can do anything. We have the motivation, the drive, and anything is possible. In other environments, we just wonder why we can't even get the desire to do the work that we're supposed to do. We know something is important. We know that it should be done this way. And yet, something prevents us from really feeling, from really experiencing the power to take it forward, to make it happen. So why is that? Let me tell you a story about a monkey. This monkey's name is Rama. And Rama worked in a banana plant. And every day he would put on his little monkey suit and his little monkey tie, and he would go to work. When he first got his job, it's like, wow, you know, I get to go to work. This is amazing. But something happened, and that passion, that desire died down. And when Rama was going to work these days, it wasn't fun anymore. He would get satisfaction from the things that he did, but it just wasn't the same. There wasn't any passion anymore, and he didn't know why. He heard once about a company where all the employees were really interested in their job, where each of them would go to work and they were passionate, they were excited, they were really enjoying and loving their work, and every day was a new experience, a new adventure. And he thought, wow, can this company really exist? Is it real? One day, Rama met another monkey named Garuter. And it turns out that he was a manager from this company. Wow, Rama was excited. How is it that something like this could really exist? How can it happen? Can you tell me, please, he said. And the manager said, well, don't let me tell you. I want to send you to my barber. And let him cut your hair. And Rama's going, huh? I mean, but no, I really want to know. Please tell me. So he says, here, this is the guy's number. This is his address. Next time you need a haircut, go over there and he'll tell you. And so Rama's going, well, but I don't understand. Why can't you just tell me? Why do I need to go to the barber? Just trust me. So Rama goes to the barber. And see, a monkey barber is a little bit different than a human barber. Because, see, a monkey doesn't get his haircut just on top. Monkey gets his haircut everywhere. So as soon as Rama walks into the barbershop, he doesn't see a barber chair. In fact, what he sees are bars hanging from the ceiling. And below them are these little monkey benches. So Rama takes off his little monkey tie, and he takes off his little monkey shirt, and leaves only his little monkey shorts on, steps onto the bench, grabs onto the bar, and he is ready for his haircut. So in walks this big giant gorilla barber. So Rama says, hey, you know, I was just talking to the manager of this particular company, and he said that you would be able to tell me why all the people that go to this company are really interested, why they really like their job, why they're so passionate, and why every day for them is a new adventure. And so the barber said, well, why don't you just hang on to the bar and let me tell you a story while I cut your hair. So as Rama is hanging on to the bar and the barber is snipping his hair and grooming him, he starts to tell him a golfing story. He asks him, well, do you play golf, Rama? Well, I've played with my boss a few times, but it's not something I do very often. He says, well, what does it take to play golf, do you know? And Rama says, well, you have to get up really early in the morning. Then, you know, you've got to put on these kind of stupid golf clothes. And then you have to carry these really heavy golf clubs. You put them in the car. And then you drive out to some godforsaken place. And And then when you get to the country club, you have to sign in and do all the paperwork. Then as soon as you're ready to go, there's all these people in front of you, and you just have to wait. And finally, you're almost up to the tee, but the guy in front of you is playing golf for the first time, and he can't hit the ball. So you have to wait some more, and you get frustrated. And then finally he hits it, and he lets you play through, and you're going, wow, fantastic. So here you are, you're up to the tee, and you hit the ball, and it goes into the water. And you get even more frustrated because it's the first guy's fault, because if he wouldn't have made you frustrated, you would have gotten the shot right. But after you've teed off, you still have to chase the ball around. So sometimes you get some good ones, sometimes you get some bad ones. You know, sometimes you get stuck in the sand and, you know, it just like takes you forever to get out. You get frustrated. But when you get the good ones, you know, you feel good too. So I guess it's mixed. And the barber says, well, you got it pretty good there, son. So what else happens when you play golf? And so Ram says, well, you know, at the end of the game, I guess you know, most people feel pretty good. I mean, they really enjoy the game. So I said, well, why do you think that is? And so Rama thought for a moment, and he goes, well, because it's a game, I guess. Because people go there and they choose to play it. I mean, it's because it's fun. And the gorilla says, well, when you described it, it didn't really sound very fun, did it? And Rama thought about it and says, well, yeah, I guess so. But I'm not really that into it. So the gorilla asks him, well, what do you think would make people be into a game that is so much work? And so Rama thought about it. It's like, well, I guess because of the way they look at the game. So then the gorilla asks him, well, Rama, what do you do when you go to work? And so Rama says, well, I get up in the morning and get dressed and I, you know, get in the car, put my briefcase in, go to work, you know, get my initial paperwork, emails done first. And, you know, then throughout the day, I'm doing some things that are good and some things that aren't so good. And, you know, I feel pretty good when the things go right and a little frustrated when they go wrong. And at the end of the day, I come home and I usually don't feel very good because it's like, gosh, you know, it's like, that was a hard day's work. But I feel good after I go home. And so the gorilla asks him, well, Rama, what's the difference between golf and work? He says, well, work isn't as much fun as golf. Well, isn't that just a perception? Asked the gorilla. So Rama thought about it for a moment. It's like, wow. Well, yes, I guess it would be, wouldn't it? I mean, if golf is just as much work as work, why couldn't I enjoy work the same way? So the gorilla says, well, why don't you just think about that for a little while? As he kind of sweeps up all the little hair that he's trimmed off of Rama, and he lets Rama off the bar, and he says, well, why don't you go and see a friend of mine, and they can give you a little bit of insight. And so Rama says, well, wow, thanks, that was really great. And so the gorilla writes on a little piece of paper, Rama looks at it, and then he goes away. On the little piece of paper was an address of a fortune teller. So Rama goes to see the fortune teller. And as he walks into the room, the fortune teller says, come in, come in, I've been expecting you. You're Rama, yes? And Rama looks at her and goes, wow, this is amazing. He says, don't worry. Gorilla called me and told me to expect you. So he goes, wow, okay, I understand. So Gorilla said that you would be able to tell me something about why people can really get excited about work. He told me about golf and he told me about work and he told me about the similarities. But I mean, I guess, you know, I just don't really see why I don't have the same perception. How can I change my perception? If golf is a game, even though it's hard work, why can't work be a game even though it's work? Why can't it be fun? Why can't I just change my perception? The fortune teller looks at him and says, because your perception is all part of your experience. So, let's look into the past. And she looks into her crystal ball, and the smoke starts coming up, and Rama's going, wow, this is cool. And then, suddenly she says, wait, I see something in the past. I see a study from Stanford University. I see a room, and they took 5 monkeys. This is before monkeys wore suits. And they put them all into a room. And then she went on to explain that inside of this room, they had put a big giant stepladder. And on top of this stepladder, they had put a bunch of bananas. And the monkeys were let loose inside the room. Now, the researchers had rigged the room with water jets that were connected to a button that the researchers would push. And when they pushed the button, water would spray all over the monkey on the ladder, and it would spray all over the other monkeys, too. So as soon as any of the monkeys would start to climb the ladder and try to get the bananas, the researchers would push the button. And then the monkeys would get sprayed, and they'd scream, and they'd go, ah! And then they'd go back down, and they'd all sit in a corner. And they'd stare at the bananas. And then another monkey would try it, and the same thing would happen. And another monkey, and another monkey, and eventually, any time a monkey even started to just move forward, the other monkeys would simply gently hold him back, and he'd come back into the corner with the other monkeys, and they'd all just sit there and stare at the bananas. And so the researchers eventually saw that the monkeys never went for the bananas anymore. They just sat there. So they took out one of the monkeys, and they put in a brand new monkey. So this monkey's looking at the bananas, and he's looking at the other monkeys, and he's kind of scratches his head a little bit, wondering, why aren't these monkeys eating the bananas? So he starts to climb up the ladder, and this time the researchers don't push the button. But the other monkeys, they start to freak out, and they grab him, and they start beating on him and pulling him down. And the other monkey doesn't know why. I mean, it's like there's bananas up here. But he figures, well, there must be something wrong with the bananas. So he goes back with the other monkeys, and they just sit there and stare at the bananas. So the researchers take another monkey, and the same thing happens. And eventually, all 5 monkeys that had ever been sprayed with water have been replaced with new monkeys. So the researchers decide, wow, this is our chance. So then they take out one of these monkeys and they put in a brand new monkey. And this monkey starts to climb up the ladder. The other monkeys, again, they freak out. They go and grab him. They start beating on him and they pull him down and beat on him some more. And they don't know why. They don't even know why they're doing it. But the other monkey comes down off the ladder and sits with them. And they just sit there and stare at the bananas. And nobody even knows why. It's just the way it was always done. So the fortune teller looks at Rama and says, so, have you been acting like a monkey? Have you pulled the mother's monkeys down? Have you been pulled down by the other monkeys? And Rama thinks for a moment. And he wonders, why? When he first started, he was excited. When he first started his job, man, there was nothing that could stop him. Was it the other monkeys that pulled him down? And then, even if it was, what can he do about it? But she says, wait, there's more. And then she tells him about the researchers when they took all the monkeys out and they put one fresh new monkey inside the room. And so this monkey looks around and he sees the ladder and he sees the bananas and he climbs up this ladder and he grabs the bananas. And it turns out that these are not ordinary bananas. They are Del Monte Premium bananas. And as he's indulging in these amazing bananas, he just puts them into his mouth, and then all the banana juice just starts dripping down the side of his mouth, and he's swallowing this full-bodied banana flavor as he just really enjoys these bananas. And this monkey is in monkey heaven, because these are so good. But then eventually the bananas are finished, and he's still a little bit hungry. So the researchers come in and they clean up the banana peels, and then they put in four of the original monkeys with this new one. And then they take another bunch of bananas, a bigger bunch this time, and they put it right on top of the stepladder. So this monkey gets excited, and as he starts to climb up the ladder, the other monkeys freak out, and they go and grab him, and they start beating on him and pulling him down. And this monkey doesn't know why. I mean, these are Del Monte premium bananas. But the difference here is that he has tasted the bananas. So he kicks the other monkeys and he beats them back and he pulls himself up. And there he grabs the bananas and he starts to eat them. And the other monkeys don't know what to think. They just kind of sit there and stare at him, wondering, how did he get the bananas? Weren't they bad? We don't understand. Why don't we get the bananas? And then one monkey gets a little bit of courage, and he kind of slowly climbs up the ladder, and he grabs a banana, and he looks around. And you know what? It really is a Del Monte premium banana. And so eventually all of the other monkeys, they start to climb up and grab another banana. And it's all because of one monkey. One monkey that fought to go and get the bananas. So the fortune teller looks at him and says, "So, what kind of monkey do you want to be? Do you want to be the kind of monkey that sits in the corner and stares at the bananas? Or do you want to be the kind of monkey that gets the bananas and then can share them with everyone else?" And Rama sat there for a moment and he thought. He had been pulling other monkeys down, and he himself had been pulled down by the other monkeys. He didn't know why. It's just the way things were. He never really thought that he could make a difference. I mean, he was just one monkey. He said, "What can I do?" At least that's what he used to think. "But I don't understand," he said. This is not just a ladder with some bananas on top. This is a work. This is an organization with lots of monkeys in it. I mean, I work at the banana plant. We're processing bananas every day. And it's not just me. There's 400 other monkeys there. What can I do?" And she just looked at him and says, "What kind of a monkey do you want to be? Do you want to be the one that sits and watches? Or do you want to be the one that makes the difference?" She said, "Only the monkey king can make the difference." And Rama's ears perked up and his eyes got wide. "Monkey king? What do you mean by that?" And she says, "For this, you must go on a journey." And she wrote something down on a piece of paper and gave it to Rama. And so Rama looks at the piece of paper, thanks her very much, and he leaves. So as Rama looks onto this piece of paper, he sees the name Guranu and an address. So immediately, Rama rushes into his little monkey car with his little monkey briefcase, and he rushes over to this place because he knows this must be the place. This must be the answer. Because this is the manager that told him to come in the first place. And so Rama finally gets up to this guy's office, and there he is, sitting in his big office with a big grin on his face and bananas on his desk. And he says, "So wait, why didn't you tell me before? So they told me to come and see you. You know, first you send me to the barber, and then the barber sends me to the fortune teller, and now I get to come and see you. Couldn't you have just told me in the first place?" And Garanu says, "Well, I could, but then it wouldn't be as effective. See, changing can't happen by other people telling you what to do. Change can only happen when you see the possibilities within yourself." So he says, "Well, what's this about a monkey king?" "Ah," he said. He looked at him and he says, "Let me tell you a story." And so Rama was riveted on the edge of his desk. "Okay, I'm listening. Tell me the story." So Garanu looked at him and says, "In order to become a monkey king, a monkey must go through 4 trials. The first trial is the banana tree environment. This is a place where all the monkeys kind of hang out and they eat bananas. You see, banana trees grow very quickly and they produce fruit within the first year. A banana tree environment is very safe. It's very complacent. You know, a monkey will just kind of hang out, grab a banana, kind of eat it slowly, scratch his head a little bit, go around, play with the other monkeys, grab another banana. And you know what? It's very, very safe. It is a place of complacency. But sometimes a monkey wants more. Sometimes a monkey wants to see what's outside of the banana tree environment. So they step out of the banana tree environment and then they see this big giant mountain and they get scared and run back and hide. But once in a while you will find a monkey that will step out of that banana tree environment and he will start to climb that mountain. And he climbs and he climbs and he beats that first trial. He beats the banana tree environment, and then when he's about halfway up the mountain, there is the second trial, the speed demon. Now you see, the speed demon works on the theory of relativity. For example, have you ever been in a situation where you're in a hurry, and right the moment that you're trying to get ahead, you're trying to move forward, you're trying to actually get things done, and somebody is always in front of you that's going slow? It's like it's a conspiracy. See, that's the speed demon. Because when you're excited about something, when you want to make something happen, when you want to change something, you get excited. And it seems like everybody else is going really slow. And you say, "Hey, I mean, we can do this or we could do that." And they're going, "Okay, let's do it tomorrow." And you're going, "Come on, I mean, not tomorrow. I mean, look at all these other things that we can do. If we can do it today, we can do this and this and this tomorrow. And then we can do these other things. And by next week, we'll be this far." And then they look at you and they go, "Okay, let me think about it." And then you get frustrated and you don't get things done. And you think, "These people, what's wrong with them? They're going so slow." But then you realize that it's the speed demon. See, it's not that these people are going slow. It is the fact that you, because you're excited, are going fast. And when you're going fast, everybody else appears to be going slow. So you have to take the responsibility of getting them excited, of finding out what it is that they need, of finding out what emotions drive them, of finding out what you can do to get them excited, to get their passion flowing, so that they too can be at the same speed as you. And then once that happens, you beat the speed demon. And then you can climb up the mountain. You keep climbing and climbing, and there you are, almost at the very top of the mountain. And there is the third trial, the swamp. And you look into this thing, and it's dark. And there's like these vines all over the place, and there's this moss and thick, ugly, disgusting mud. And you look back down the mountain, and it would just be so easy to just kind of slide back into the banana tree environment where it's safe. It would just be so easy. And you look at your clothes, and like you're all torn and tattered and dirty, and you are tired, and you just don't need this swamp thing in front of you. But you figure, well, I've gone this far, so I might as well give it a shot. And you put your foot in the mud, and it kind of gets stuck. And you can't even get past the vines, and there's no light on the other side. And then you think, the vines, the mud, all the stuff that's really preventing you from going forward, it's the rules that we've made about the way that things should be. It's the rules that we've made about the way that other people should act. It's the rules that we've made about the way that things should happen. And the thing is, these are all our rules. And not everybody plays by our rules. And when we realize the more rules we have about the way that people should be, about the way that things should happen, about the things that, about the meanings of even different words, about the meanings of courage, about the meanings of work, about the meanings of productivity, about the meanings of love, about the meanings of friendship. And when we get rid of some of these rules that are preventing us from moving forward, we realize that it's so much easier, and the vines just fall to the side, and the mud dries up, and the moss falls from the trees, and it lays a clear path, and the light suddenly starts to shine on the other side, and you can effortlessly walk through the swamp because you are more tolerant of what's happening. You are more tolerant of the people around you. You are more tolerant. And when you're more tolerant, you're able to act more intelligently. Instead of reacting to everything that's going around you, and you're more at peace, and you're more capable, and you're stronger. And finally, as you get out of the swamp and you look back at what you've done, you are proud. And you feel really good because you have beaten the third trial. And there, right there at the very top of the mountain where you are, there is the fourth and last trial. The mirror of significance. And you look into this mirror and wow, you are dressed so well and you're so clean. And you have this yellow glow around you. And all of the other monkeys are below you. And you think, wow, I am better than everybody else because I have done this and nobody else could. And you feel proud and you feel so good. And then you try to go past the mirror, but you can't. Because that mirror is the one that's giving you all these really great feelings of importance, of accomplishment. And when you look in the mirror, you feel so good. And you see all the other monkeys kind of looking up to you. But then you realize that at this moment, in order to really move forward, in order to really become the Monkey King, it's not about how good you are. It's not about how important you feel. It's not about being better than everyone else. It is about helping others to achieve the same thing that you have achieved. When you realize that when you can actually help to bring these other monkeys up, that you can educate them, that you can teach them, that you can guide them. Guide them to be even better than they are. Guide them to see what you have seen, to find what you have found. Then you take your fist and you crash through the mirror. And there, as the pieces of the mirror fall to the ground, in front of you, you see the great monkey castle. And along the path to the great monkey castle are all the people that you've ever known. And they are there to shake your hand. They are there to appreciate who you have become. They are there because you have set an example. And they want to learn from you. They want to appreciate you. And they admire you. And as you come closer to the great monkey castle doors, there they open. And inside, you see the great monkey spiral staircase. And as you climb it to the second floor where the great monkey throne stands, there you see the windows to the past on the right, and there you see the windows to the future on the left. And as you look out the windows to the past, there is everything that has ever happened. There are all the trials, all of the difficulties, all of the monkeys that have pulled you down. There is everything that has caused you problems and everything that has built you up. There is all that has made you who you are. And there, as you look out, you can feel and see everything that you've learned from. And as you look out to the windows of the future, there you see the people whose lives you've made a difference in. There you see the possibilities of creating new environments. There you see the possibility of literally making a difference in your workplace and your life. There in front of you are all the possibilities to create that are within you. And there in front of you, in the past and in the future, you see that the difference you've made in the lives of others, the example that you have set, the little things that you've done, all of these things have made a difference. You just haven't noticed them. And they haven't just made a difference with the people directly. They've actually made a difference with the people that those people have met and the difference that those people have made in the lives of others. And as you look further into the past and into the future, you see that it's a clean slate. That the past can mean anything that you want it to. You give it the meaning, and the future is yours to create. It is there for you to make a difference. It is there for you to create an environment where others can benefit, where others can develop themselves, can be greater people, can be the kind of environment that you and others are happy in, that you get fulfillment from. And that idea, the possibility to create, to make something that others see as impossible. An environment where everyone can be fulfilled with what they do, whether it be work, whether it be play, whether it be a relationship, it doesn't matter. Each of these are environments, and each of them can be fulfilling. Each of them can bring out the best in everyone inside of them. Each of them can bring out the best in you, but it's up to you to make that first step. It is up to you to beat the four trials. It is up to you to move forward. It is up to you to make things happen. Because one monkey can make a difference. It just takes heart. It takes a desire. A desire to become the example. A desire to work hard and beat the four trials. A desire to become the Monkey King.
We hope you enjoyed the lessons from the Monkey King. For other learning insights and information on Arthur F. Kamazi products, please visit us at www.kamazi.net. If you have interest in the Directive Communication System or want to know about becoming a Directive Communication partner, send us an email at info@directivecommunication.com or visit us at www.directivecommunication.com.